That we are recording. Okay, you all set?
All good.
Cool. So welcome to this week's edition of the Retail Risk Podcast, sponsored by Axis Communications. And thanks as always to our supporting partner, 3X Logic. Now, I'm joined this week by none other than Claire Saunders. Now, I'm not going to give you any more than that at this stage. Many of you are probably thinking, oh, I know that name. Why do I know that name? And for those that pay special attention to the New Year's honours list here in the UK, you may well have seen Claire's name in association with that. So Claire, thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
That's okay. I'm more than happy to be here.
Now, let's maybe start at the end and work backwards. But you had a letter drop on the doormat, I think I'm right in saying. Bestowing you with an honour in the New Year's list from the Queen here in the UK.
I did. Obviously, I was very, very shocked. I heard, I think it was roughly 2 weeks, 3 weeks before New Year's Eve, that I received a letter that I'd been nominated and the Prime Minister had gone to the Queen, and obviously it had been accepted. And obviously I was sworn to secrecy for about 2 weeks, which was quite difficult for me because I like to talk a lot. But on New Year's, I've announced that I was on the New Year's Eve honours list and I'd received a BEM, which is a British Empire Medal. So absolutely astounded. So yeah, very excited. And I'm going to receive the actual medal on the 29th of April.
Wow, how exciting is that? So huge, huge congratulations. And you have managed to achieve and get recognition for something that has been an issue within retail for an awful long time. And that is your action and tackling straight on, something to do with the abuse that store colleagues and shop workers receive on a daily basis. Is it fair to say you thought enough was enough?
Yeah, definitely. I think, look, no one goes to work to get abuse, but I think especially during the pandemic, it almost seemed to spike. I mean, there was trigger points. Sadly, it's always happened, you know, in a lot of industries it happens, but you don't go to work to face verbal and sadly physical abuse. And I think I'd moved stores and it was worse. And then when you're seeing actual colleagues scared to come to work as well, and that their families are scared for them to come to work, enough's enough. I mean, obviously I'm lucky that there was already there's good things in place already, but I'm the sort of person that's like, nah, I need to do something about this. I like to sort of speak up a little bit. So obviously I worked with the co-op who I work for, and also joined the union Usdaw as well. And with them, obviously, I got heavily involved in the campaigning and obviously went off on my own and contacted people as well to start raising the issue as well, making people aware. So, yeah, that's how it started.
And I think I'm right in saying, so you joined the co-op 5 years or so working in the stores. And by this point, if you like, when it came to a head, you were store manager of
the store manager. So I started like most people, you know, it was a part-time job on the till. Absolutely loved it, you know. I love what the co-op stand for, and I think that's why I was very drawn to the company as well, for what they stand for and what they do in the community. I became a member pioneer as well, and then luckily I progressed quite quickly. I think that's what I like about the co-op as well. They allowed me to do that and be myself as well. So then I ended up, so I went and become a store manager of a store in Romford, and I was just taken aback by the level of abuse that we were facing and what the colleagues faced. So I thought, yeah, enough's enough. I need to get involved with this.
And you know, the co-op have been absolutely at the forefront of shouting about this, but what sort of abuse were you and your colleagues, you know, on the receiving end of? I mean, it's you know, not that a crossed word is acceptable, but yeah, had it gone beyond that, what were you being subjected to?
I mean, look, sadly, in the area I live in, and I know obviously throughout, drugs is a big problem, you know, and people would come in and obviously they're shoplifting and they're not bothering what they take, because as long as they're getting something to get their next hit as such. So obviously the policy is we would never ever confront shoplifters, but they were confronting us as well. And then you get, there's a pub next door to my store as well, so people would come in after they've had a few drinks, they'd give you a bit of abuse when you're sort of just checking for ID and just doing what we have to do. I mean, obviously they're legal requirements that you check someone's age. You don't deserve to get abused at. And then obviously as COVID hit, it just triggered obviously the flashpoints, you know, that you're having to do social distancing. And we all remember the queuing outside the stores and the panic buying over the bread. It was abuse after abuse after abuse. And I thought, no, enough is enough.
And what was that first step? So you're sat there either at work or at home one evening thinking, I need to do something. It's a fair old leap to go from thinking I need to do something, and huge credit to you, you know, to have the co-op supporting what you did, Usdaw, the union. I saw, was it Sir Keir Starmer, did he, the leader of the Labour Party, the opposition here in the UK, get involved, subsequently the Prime Minister putting you forward for an award. I mean, that's a hell of a roster in a, you know, in a period of time. But what was the first step you did?
I think for me, obviously, Carpi Van Fantastic. I mean, obviously, Paul Gerrard and Joe Whitfield, you know, that they'd started putting this in motion. I mean, obviously, all the money in the world, they've got the fantastic things in store, but it's getting through. I think it's almost making other people realise that this shouldn't be acceptable. So, yeah, so obviously I got in touch with them, joined forces with them, and then I thought, right, I'm going to join Usdaw, because obviously I know that they're heavily involved with that as well. And then for me, I think being on the ground and people saying, oh, she's one of us, I think I had their support as well. So I got the colleagues involved as well to sort of bring their stories to light as well. So people recording videos as well. I've done TV, BBC Breakfast, radio, obviously the call with Keir Starmer as well. I went to the Houses of Parliament as well with Chris Whitfield and obviously Usdaw as well. So all of this, and I think once people see your passion, you get invited to do more as well. And look, I don't shut up as well. I do a lot on social media as well to sort of say what I'm doing as well. But it's, do you know what? The most important thing is encouraging other people to stand up and say their stories as well, because that's when it really hits home what it can do to people and the mental health impact as well of that abuse.
And do you know what? When you started to say enough is enough, do you think that your co-workers at the time just sort of, they were resigned to the fact that that comes with the job? And then when suddenly somebody says, no, we shouldn't accept that, were they corralled and sort of, you know, 100%. Pied Piper joining in behind you, like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, 100%. You give people confidence, don't you? Because I never thought, like, I'm not being funny, like, I'm as Essex as you like, I've got my Romford accent. People don't expect someone like me to do these things. I never thought I'd be doing something like I've done and doing things like this now. But I think sometimes it just takes someone to, we just need to get involved.
And it's certainly,
yeah, and obviously Carpi Fantastic, they've already had such a great Safer Quality Safe Communities in place, so it was really good that their support was already there, and they've allowed me to obviously go and do what I do with Usdaw and the campaigning that I've done.
I think it's absolutely incredible, because those two campaigns, you know, we and many others have covered, you know, long time ago. I started off running co-op stores as well, and it was just, even then, yeah, a long time ago, it was just part of the job, and you know, it was brushed off. And I think at that time even senior management was like, oh, you'll be fine, just get on with it, you know, away you go. But gradually, I think, yeah, the number of instances seem to have escalated, and then, you know, you've given a life to those campaigns that they didn't seem to have before. There was no face to the campaigns, and all of a sudden, in the nicest sense, people know your name.
Well, I think it's my voice as well. I don't stop talking. But yeah, because I do believe, I think it's really great that you have the backing of these really high profile people, but it takes someone doing that job to speak out as well, because then you've got actual people like, she actually knows what was going on. She's experienced it. It's not, you know, they believe in you because they've seen it. You know, I've been assaulted myself. I've been verbally abused. You know, I've been scared to walk to my car from walking out of my store. So I faced it and I know how they're feeling and I know the damage that it can do. Look, physically, sadly, yes, you'll always fix, but it's the mental aspect of, my God, have I got to go to work again today? What's going to happen? And I think once people know that they've got support and it's been taken so seriously, straight away people feel safer.
And when you looked into this and people started to come forward, have you got any idea what sort of percentage of shop workers have suffered something that has affected their mental health and their well-being? I mean, how widespread do you think you found this was?
Well, I think I think sort of some of the research that our store did, I think it's nearly every person has actually faced some kind of verbal abuse, shop workers at work. I mean, look, some people are very different characters, aren't they? Some people accept that as part of the job. And that was why I did this, to make sure people knew it wasn't to be part of the job. I mean, it's great because I work for Co-op, but is there a small convenience store down the road that they're not necessarily going to have the backing of anyone, are they? So it's people like me that have got to stand up for everybody.
And what do you think, is step one the awareness, or have you started to see some changes, be it just reporting or process or technology? What is there any difference you can look back and go, do you know what? We started something and that's the first stage.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously the technology we've got in Co-op and the money they invest in safety for colleagues is phenomenal, you know. It's the forefront of everything that they do. I mean, obviously in Scotland, obviously it's even been improved in a bill, hasn't it, in Parliament, that there is greater sanctions. And obviously we're getting to that stage, obviously, now as well here. So obviously, yeah, that's great, you know, because all the petitions and all the videos and all the campaigning, we are seeing the end goals now getting clearer. But for me, it's customers are coming in now saying, Claire, I saw you. I never realised that it was like that, because they're a normal human being that wouldn't think to do that. But it's raised awareness, which is the key thing, which is we wanted it to do.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point there. So do you feel that the vast majority of customers are respectful and decent? Yeah. Do you think maybe they're aware of what's going on? Are they more on side? Do they even have your back now, or your colleagues back in stores? Do you think anything's
100%,
changed there?
Yeah, it's made a massive difference. See, even I've walked down the street and they're like, I've seen you on TV. Like, this can't happen, you know, we're fully backing you. Is there something we can sign, you know? Is there a petition? So, yeah, it has made a difference because, as I said, I do believe people believe someone when they've gone through it themselves, when you're speaking on behalf of people that are going through that. And again, that's probably why I joined Usdaw as well, because, you know, it's power in numbers as well, a little bit. You know, you've got backing of people with your campaigning. But look, it's so important. It's something I'm not going to stop because I'm so passionate about it, because look, it's never going to go away. But if we can help at least the people that are doing it get tougher sentences, then, you know, hopefully it will put off some people from doing it.
Yeah, it's got to be an improvement on where we are currently.
Of course, massive improvement, you know, even just the awareness of the campaign, and it's even got to Parliament now and it's being looked at, and, you know, and what's happened in Scotland. So yeah, we've made huge improvements.
And you mentioned that you're going to continue to work with Usdaw, which of course is the shop workers union. Is there a specific goal target there? Are we going to see, you know, your face on the side of a bus delivering their next report to the nation? What can we expect from that?
Well, obviously, I'm going to continue. I've been doing, obviously, some more campaigning still with them. But I think, yeah, that's definitely something that I'm interested in. I've had a couple of people approach me thinking, Claire, I think you should get into politics as well. So that certainly interests me, because obviously that I do like to talk, and I'll definitely argue my point when I need to. So, yeah, that's definitely something, obviously, that I'm looking to do in the future.
I think I'm right in saying that Usdaw actually support and help select and fund candidates. So, maybe you've got a ready-made campaign team already behind you waiting in the wings?
We will see. Well, I certainly didn't think that this time last year I would be getting a New Year's honour. So you never know what the future holds, do you?
These days, surveillance cameras aren't just for monitoring a specific area, because with analytics, those cameras can do so much more. Like with any new development, there has been some hype, some disappointments, and lots of new options for the collection and use of data. Axis enables a smarter and safer world by creating network solutions that provide insights for improving security and new ways of doing business. For more information about Axis, please visit our website, www.axis.com.
What's the ultimate goal? So, you know, you've done more to raise awareness than I think anybody else has achieved in the past 5-10 years ever, possibly. You've done interviews around the top politicians in the country know you. The biggest union in the country is backing you. What's the goal, if you like? And I know running for parliament, but, you know, can we get to a perfect, polite place in stores? You know, what would you sit back and go, okay, do you know what? We did a good job.
Yeah, I think it will be a huge change in law, wouldn't it? So it would, the offence would be seen as a single offence. That'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? You know, for that. So people know that obviously that is that. I know I'm going to get that sanction. Mm. So yeah, ideally, we'd like to look at, for me anyway, that would be fantastic. But look, we've made massive steps and we've already seen differences. So look, we're getting there. So it's, yeah, I'm so proud of what everyone's done as well. And obviously can't thank Co-op and Usdaw for the support they give me and their belief in me as well, and to let me go off and trust some of the things I do as well.
So, no, I think it's, I have to say, you know, I think it's incredible what you've done. I think you completely deserve your New Year's honour. So congratulations for that. Huge kudos to what you've managed to do in terms of raising awareness. I think you're an absolutely perfect front for the campaign, because you are so engaging, bubbly, and you've been there and done it. So, you know, that's really what yep. people want.
And isn't let's it, be honest, breaking the mold a little bit, because as people say, generally it's, no offence, it's a middle-aged white male that tends to lead things like that. Whereas Claire from Romford with me, Essex accent, big blonde hair, you just don't expect that. And I think that's important for me to kind of also let everyone know that anyone can do anything, you know, just sort of believe in yourself as well, because if it's something you care that much about, then you should do it.
And the more Claires from Romford we have, you know, making decisions and shouting from the rooftops, the better. I think white middle-aged men should all be sort of wheeled off to the south coast somewhere and left to fester, because I think I'm not sure over the years they've done such a great job of everything. But Claire, absolute pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking the time in your busy day to share your story, and I wish you every success in your next chapter, whatever that might be.
Thank you very much.
The top people from the top organizations with the latest thinking about the best strategies to use in the greatest industry on earth, retail. The Retail Conference from the Retail Bulletin, exclusively at Retech Europe, 8th and 9th of November. Search the Retail Conference for more details.